Great to be here today, Karen. I love to come up from Boyett Brook and share fellowship with you, to meet with the Lord and to share God's word. It's a very precious time, isn't it, that we can come together like this. We went to a convention yesterday in Perth, because we both belong to Gideon's, and that's in fact giving out God's word, and to go there and to hear how God is winning souls through the placement of his precious word throughout the world. What a wonderful thing, what God's word can do. As we know, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And to get the word of God into the hands of those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no wonder that God takes his spirit and touches lives. And we thank God for that. Shall we just pray? Loving God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who we seek to exalt, to uplift, and to bring glory to his name. We thank you that he is the Saviour of the world. We thank you that his love overflows to every man, woman, and boy and girl who live upon this earth. We thank you that he turns no one away. It says in his word, whoever comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. We thank you that he is a good shepherd, the one who cares for his sheep, the one who gave his life for the sheep, the one who brings back the lost sheep, the one who says, in him is eternal life, that no one can pluck out of my hands. To be in the hands of a Saviour, to be held by him, and not just by him, but by God also, Father and Son. Lord, we thank you. And as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will touch both preacher and listener alike. But we only see one person here this morning, and that's Christ himself. In his most worthy name we ask this. Amen. Mark chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles, either on the phone or in a paper copy. We'll be speaking this morning from verses 25 to 34. We'll be talking about the woman with the issue of blood. That is the subject of our message this morning. The woman with the issue of blood. Have you ever been without hope? Have you come to the end of yourself? Been desperate to seek help but couldn't find help? Been let down by those who you trusted to help you? Have you been so completely exhausted but it's taken everything out of you because you've tried all avenues of help and they've all failed? And this woman we're speaking about this morning was just like that. She was just like that. There's a common phrase we use, isn't it? She is at the end of her tether. That's what she was. You know, in verse 25, we read his words. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. It says she had a flow of blood for 12 years. And it's quite interesting because Roy this morning spoke about the lepers. And similarly, this woman was ceremonially unclean. And in Leviticus, and I'll read this to you this morning, Leviticus 15, verse 19, we read this. And if a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything she lies on, during her impurity, shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. This woman was ceremonially unclean. But not just that. In Numbers 5, verses 1 to 4, we see that she was also a social outcast. A social outcast. Numbers chapter 5, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, which is what Roy spoke about this morning, everyone who has a discharge, this is this woman, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse, and you shall put them both out, male and female, you shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile the camp, the camps in the midst of which I dwell. The children of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp as the Lord spoke to Moses. So the children of Israel did. You've got to remember that this woman was still living under the law. She was still living under the law. So she was socially unclean. She was a social outcast. She could have been, she was terminally ill, wasn't she? Terminally ill. And she'd been physically sick for 12 years. This was for 12 years this woman had been in this particular state. She had suffered from the physicians. You know, verse 26, back again in Mark's Gospel, it says she actually had suffered many things from many physicians. Not one doctor, but many doctors. And it said she suffered from what remedy or cure they were trying to put upon her. She was financially broke. It says here she spent all that she had. What a state this woman was in. What a state. And through all this medication and what was taking place, we read, but her condition didn't become better, but it got worse. She was getting worse and worse and worse. Well, it caused a problem. Well, the Bible doesn't say. It could be childbirth, could be an accident, could be abuse, could be a disease. We don't know. You see, but we do know the cause of it. We know the root of it. And the root of it is sin. The root of it is sin. And that came upon man since the day of Adam. Sin causes disease, decay, accident, or any other disaster which might befall us. You see, sin causes decay on my head. I used to have a lot of hair. I used to have sideboards. I used to use Brill cream to put it back in place. You see, I'm decaying. So are you. So are you. Some of us faster than others. But we're all decaying. Not just physically. Spiritually, mentally and physical as well. That's what this woman was. She was decaying all three. But we shouldn't be decaying spiritually, should we? That's one thing we shouldn't be decaying in. But one thing we can say, we're very blessed to be in Western Australia, to have the health system we have. Amazing, you know, I wanted a script way down in Bridgetown. I wanted a script because I've had a cold. And I want some antibiotics. I rang up the Bridgetown Medical Centre at 11 o'clock. She said, right, you can have an appointment at 3, the same day. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? We're so blessed. But there's plenty of false doctors out there. Yeah, but doctor out of this world. What does he prescribe? Recreational drugs, doesn't he? That's what he prescribes. Alcohol. That's what Dr. Out of This World prescribes. And there's many, many people who are under the influence of drugs and alcohol to escape the sinful decay which is taking place in their lives and in their bodies and in their minds, to cover up for a few hours to feel good. But you need more and more and more. And instead of getting better and better, like this woman, are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. How about doctor relaxation? You can find all this stuff on Facebook. Yoga, meditation, hypnosis. Make you feel relaxed. Go and lay on the floor. Let somebody lead you into another world. What world does he lead you into? Satan's world. Satan's world. Why? Because man's leading you. How about doctor religion? Join a church. How about the health and wealth doctrine? The more money you give, the wealthier you'll become, and the more healthy you'll be. And that is actually preached in the city of Perth. It has been preached. Well, some church say, well, a Catholic church, you've got to pay your money and pay your tithes and give this and give that and everything else, and you'll become a better person. Good works, tithing, abstinence. That's what doctor religion prescribes. How about doctor online? We mentioned that just a minute ago. There's every cure under the sun, isn't there? Online. Everybody's peddling one thing or another to cure this or to cure that, or to make you feel better, or to make you feel stronger, and all sorts of things. But these are all false cures. These are all temporary things. These are all fake. What had happened to her? It changed her social and family position. No sign of a husband. Help from there. It changed her religious and social standing. She was a social and religious outcast. You just think of the physical pain she was given and was going through. The embarrassment she must have felt with this issue of blood, this hemorrhage or whatever it is. I think she probably came from a well-to-do background. Because originally she had money to spend on physicians, hadn't she? So she came from a good background. You know, her state was bleak. No spiritual help, barred from worship, no family support, and she faced premature death. Okay, we've looked at our state. What about us? And that came up again this morning in our service, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. You know, when it talks about we having no hope. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. Therefore remember you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called a circumcision made in the flesh by hands. And at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from a commonwealth of Israel, strangers from a covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. What does all that mean? You see, at this time, the only nation on earth which could be blessed by God was the Israelites, or those who came into the Israelite family. all the other tribes and nationalities in the world without hope. That's what it says here. Why? Because they were aliens from a commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. Whose promise? Abraham's promise. But Abraham's covenant promise, which was passed down into Moses and so forth, so on, which was a promise of a coming Saviour. And we as Gentiles, if the same situation was here today, would be without hope. No hope whatsoever. But fortunately, this woman, at this time, eventually heard about someone who could bring hope. Because this is the difference. And you and me, without Jesus Christ, have no hope. Everything in life which we, pain and illnesses and shortage of money and everything else which takes place in life, without hope. Why? Because we're sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The moment we come into this world, we're contaminated by sin and disease caused by sin. She had no hope. We have no hope. See the comparison. Because the Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But then, praise God, it's not the end of the story. Something remarkable happened. Verse 27 in Mark. Mark, verse 27. What does it say? When she heard about Jesus. There's this woman, as we've talked about, with no hope. Then we read in that verse 27, when she heard about Jesus. She heard from someone or somebody's which was going to save her life. What she heard about Jesus was going to save her life. What we hear about Jesus and what he's done for us saves our lives. Not just our physical lives through this life we're living in at the moment, but for eternity. Isn't that another interesting point here? She heard from somebody or somebody's who was going to save her life. And you and me, and I say to the Christians here this morning, we can save lives by telling others about Jesus, about the Lord Jesus. How about that? We can save lives. You know, we may not belong to Sea Rescue. We may not be driving an REC helicopter to save lives or been involved in any life-saving physical action. But every one of us believers can save a life by telling others about Jesus. You just think, who you know at work, who you know at college, who goes by your door. People we say good morning to. If that person is about Christ, that person is on the road to hell without Christ. And you can be a lifesaver. I can be a lifesaver. Why do missionaries go out throughout the world? To save lives. That's where they're going. They're not going to enjoy the climate. They're going out there, one thing is to save lives eternally. And you and me can be in a rescue team. See, when on earth, part of his ministry, the Lord Jesus, we know he was a great physician. Healed many people, saved a lot of people physically. But the greatest and most important reason he came was to save us from our sins. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That's what the Bible says. So what did this woman do when she heard about Jesus? She'd heard that he healed people. Somebody told her. Did she say, I'm too much diseased. It's impossible for me to get healed. I've tried all the doctors. Nobody can help me. So how can this man help me? I've tried everything. There's too many people in this world who are trying to come to God and trying to please God through works, through religion, and through every other thing under the sun. Even these Muslims who are murdering millions in this world today believe they are pleasing God by following Allah and his teachings. Blinded to the fact that they're not life givers, but they're murderers. What did she do? She heard about him. Verse 27, she saw him standing in the crowd. She came through the crowd. This is a woman who's an outcast who shouldn't be there. What'd she do? She touched his garment. In Luke 8:44, it says she touched the border of his garment. What does that signify? She recognized him as a priest, as a man of God. And on the border of the high priest were tassels of blue. And those tassels of blue portrayed the heavenly man. The heavenly man. Her faith took her beyond touching an earthly man, an earthly physician who failed. But her faith took her to touch the heavenly man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who God sent into this world to save man from our sins. She said, if only I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Verse 29. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body, that she was healed of the affliction. Nothing stopped her, did it? The crowd wasn't good too. Nothing held her back. Not even her illness. She touched his garment. And immediately she was made well. Is there anything holding any of you here this morning back? Have you yet made that step of faith and come to the Lord Jesus and touched him and said, Lord Jesus, here I am. Take me. Are you still in your sins, unforgiven? The opportunity is right now today to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. Nothing was going to hold her back. She had no hope. He was the only chance. He was the only way. And the only way, the only chance you'll ever have is through Jesus Christ. He is a way for forgiveness of sins. He is a way to a home in heaven. He is a way to eternal life. There's no other way. The moment we come to Jesus in faith, in repentance, in believing, we are saved. What happens? The Spirit of God comes in to dwell in us. And we're a new creation. Have you touched him? You see, her healing was supernatural, wasn't it? Supernatural. Being born again is supernatural. In verse 30, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" He did not need to ask that question because he already knew who touched him. Why? Because he knows every man, woman, boy, and girl upon this earth by name. He knows you by name. He knows all about you. He knows your background. He knows your ups. He knows your downs. There's nothing he doesn't know about you here this morning. He looked around to see her. She was in the crowd, and he saw her. I may be wrong, but I believe he purposely said, "Who touched me?" He could have walked on. He could have walked on. But no, he gave her the opportunity to do what? Number one, to worship him. We heard about lepers, didn't we? This morning. But only one leper came back and worshipped the Lord and gave glory to God, we heard. This woman was given the opportunity to worship him. Secondly, she had the opportunity to be a witness. To be a witness. She told him, you know, she told him. But a woman in verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And in Luke's gospel, it says, in the presence of all, that same story. In the presence of all. The Lord Jesus gave her opportunity to worship and to say thanks. Because worship is giving thanks and giving glory to God. He gave her opportunity to be a witness. She told him, she testified the whole truth in the presence of all, as it says in Luke. He's given you and me, and expects from you and me, to worship. We worship God this morning as we broke the bread, as we took the wine, as we gave thanks for salvation through Jesus Christ. We came to glorify God, to give thanks. When we leave, we can be witnesses. We can be witnesses. She told her testimony in the presence of all. And there's no greater witness than to tell others about your own experience of Jesus Christ. What Jesus means to you. And how Jesus came into your life, changed your life, gave you a foundation in life, gave you protection, gave you assurance. Picked you up. Everybody's testimony here is different. Jesus has given you an opportunity to witness. Someone told her. Now she's telling others. You see, she was now a child of God. There was no sign of family, was there, before? No sign of a husband. No sign of children supporting her. But John 1:12 says, to as many as received him, the Lord Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. She was now in a family. She was now a daughter of God. She'd put her absolute trust in him. family who didn't reject her, a family who didn't turn him away, but a head of a family, the Lord Jesus, who received her. The woman believed in his name. Her faith in him made her well. And Jesus says, go in peace. I guarantee you it was the first peace she's ever had for 12 years. She walked away in peace. Go in peace. And the only peace, real peace, in this troubled world in which we live is in Christ Jesus. His peace. But in Ephesians 2:13 it says, we only read the first part, but now in Christ Jesus, those who were far apart are now being brought near by the blood of Jesus. We who were far apart have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. I only read part of 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we pray? Loving God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he stands there calling each one of us. He says, come unto me, all that you are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace, forgiveness, a home eternally in his presence forever. We thank you that the door is not yet shut. He is a door. He's a doorkeeper. He stands there. Don't let's say no. Don't let's not come. Let's not leave it for another day. But let us right now, in our seats, if we've not done before, you can say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I repent of my sin. I will turn away my old life and turn to you. I believe you took my sins upon yourself upon the cross of Calvary. You died in my place, but I might have life. I now commit my life to you. I commit my life to you to make you Lord of my life, to take complete control of my life, and to put complete trust in you. And I do all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.